Well, let me invite you to open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19. If you're visiting with us tonight, we're currently in a study of the book of Revelation that I've entitled Navigating the Book of Revelation. And tonight we're going to be looking at the opening verses of Revelation chapter 19. In our text, you're going to see two opposing concepts, vengeance and joy. And I believe you would agree that normally vengeance and joy don't occupy the same emotional space. I mean, what would you think of me if I said, I enjoy taking vengeance on individuals that have wronged me? Well, tonight you're going to see when God is the one avenging, then joy for God's people is an appropriate response. Follow with me as I read these opening verses to establish ourselves in the text. Revelation 19 and verse 1, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Father, we're thankful tonight for the opportunity to return to our study in the book of Revelation. We pray that you would be honored. Help me to be clear in my communication. Dear Holy Spirit of God, open the understanding of your people and seal the truth of the Word of God to their heart for use tonight as well as in the future. And we would be so thankful, for we pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin, let me take a minute to define two words that we see in our text. The first is the word avenge. And the other word is a form of this word or part of this word. It is the word vengeance. And when you look at the word vengeance, you see avenge in it. And you will notice that in verse number 5, I think it is, that the Lord has judged the great earth and the great whore, and has avenged, verse number 2, the blood of His servants. Avenge is a verb. It means to inflict harm on behalf of oneself or someone else for previous wrongs or harm that has been done. And where vengeance is a verb, where avenge is a verb, vengeance is a noun. And it means the act of punishing or harming someone in return for what they have done to you or someone else. In the context of our study tonight, avenge means to take vengeance on a person for offenses against God and harm that they've inflicted on God's children. Let me repeat that. Avenge means to take vengeance on persons for offenses against God and harm that they have inflicted upon God's people. And tonight we're going to see how the inhabitants of heaven are going to respond to God taking vengeance on Babylon. This is why I've entitled the message tonight, God's Vengeance and Heaven's Joy. In order to understand what you're seeing in our text tonight, I need to take a few minutes to remind you of the context of Revelation chapter 19. And taking the time to establish this context will serve as a review for where we left off in our study back in July. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6. Now hold your place in Revelation 19 because we'll come back to this. But you'll remember back in chapter 6 that we saw a group of saints crying out to God for vengeance. It was in connection with the breaking of the fifth seal. Look, if you would, with me at Revelation 6, 9 through 11. And listen very carefully to what John sees. The Bible says, "And when he, the Lamb, had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, before the altar, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." So these individuals are being slain, notice, for the word of God and their testimony. So clearly we're talking about martyrs here. Verse number 10, "And they cried with a loud voice, saying," listen to their words, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and," here it is, "avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." Okay, the time of this vision, we are told, is the opening of the fifth seal. The people of the vision, we are told, are those souls that are before or under the altar that were slain for the word of God and the testimony which they held. As I've said, these are clearly Christian martyrs. The question is, which martyrs are these? I mean, are they all martyrs since the beginning of time? Or is this vision limited to just the martyrs of the first part of the tribulation period? I would lean towards it being the first martyrs of the tribulation period, but that's nothing more than a guess on my part. The last week of Jesus' ministry on earth, he told the Pharisees that there was coming a day that God would avenge all the martyrs that had been killed since the beginning of time. Listen to the words of Jesus. This is Matthew 23:33. He says, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men, and scribes. And some of them ye shall kill and crucify. And some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel." You know who righteous Abel was? The very first martyr for his faith. So this is the martyr that goes back to the beginning of time. "Unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, who was slain between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come on this generation." And Jesus was not saying that the Pharisee standing in front of him was responsible for Abel's death. Okay? Because Cain was responsible for Abel's death. And he wasn't saying that these men that were standing in front of him were going to be responsible for the death of these final martyrs of the tribulation period. When he speaks of their generation, he is speaking of the fact that in every generation, there are individuals that have the character, have the spirit, have the depravity of the men standing in front of him. Cain was the first like that, and those of Babylon will be the last like that. Whoever the martyrs are that are crying out for vengeance with the breaking of the fifth seal, we don't know. But what can't be disputed is, in Revelation 6, two distinct groups of martyrs are being referred to. The first group are those souls that are in heaven at the time the fifth seal is broken and are crying out for vengeance in Revelation 6, 9, and 10. The second group is easier to identify, verse number 11. They are those that have yet to die at the time that the fifth seal is broken, but will die in the future during the great tribulation period. You know, the believers have always had a dilemma. We, like the martyrs of the fifth seal, want vengeance now. And not only do we want vengeance now, but we have an inherent desire to be the ones that administer it ourselves. However, God has specifically reserved vengeance to Himself, and He has a specific time, according to the Scriptures, that He is going to mete it out. Let me remind you of some verses. Romans 12, 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Deuteronomy 32, 35. God says, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. Deuteronomy 32:43. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people. For he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. Psalm 94, verses 1 through 4. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself, lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard thing, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? Although we have seen God systematically and progressively pouring out His wrath in the book of Revelation through the trumpet and vial judgments, with the judgment of Babylon, a judicial corner is turned. And we can hear it in what John is told in Revelation chapter 18. Look back at Revelation chapter 18. I want to read the first six verses. And you'll remember in our text, while you're finding your place here, you'll remember in our text that what in chapter 19, what they are saying hallelujah over is the destruction of Babylon. And remember, back in our study, the emphasis, the predominance of this theme of Babylon being fallen, Babylon's judgment. Well, now the view is heaven, and they're rejoicing in the fact that it's taken place. And though there has been judgment throughout this period, when it comes to the destruction of Babylon, a judicial point is turned. Things escalate quickly. Revelation 18, verses 1 through 6, John writes, "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice in heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled full, to her double." Look at Revelation 18, verse 20 and 21. "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it in the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall the great city of Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." Revelation 18:23, the second part of the verse. "For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." Verse 24. "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all them that were slain upon the earth." In chapter 6, with the breaking of the fifth seal, the martyrs are told that they need to wait, because there are martyrs in the future that are going to be added to their number. This is the description of what's being talked about. Look, if you would, at Revelation 16. In Revelation 16, we have reference, a description of Babylon's destruction. And remember, it takes place in connection with the seventh vial that is poured out, that final vial that is said to be filled with the wrath of God. Revelation 16:17, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, Jerusalem. And the cities of the nation fell." So this earthquake is a worldwide event. But then notice the last statement. "And great Babylon came into remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath." Think of the significance of Babylon's destruction in this way. The city of Beijing, China, represents the capital of communism. And consider the atrocities that this city is responsible for. Think of the city of Moscow. Moscow represents the capital of communist Russia. And it also represents the atrocities that that city is for. And yes, think about Washington, D.C. Washington represents the center of America's political system. And think about the sins and the transgressions Washington's politicians are responsible for. Do you understand how the absolute destruction of any of these cities would result in the figurative head of the serpent being cut off? Babylon's destruction won't kill the Antichrist, but it will certainly cut the legs out from underneath him. And all the previous judgments of the tribulation period will simply be precursors to Babylon's destruction. And remember that God's destruction of Babylon is going to be total. Look again at the way that Babylon's destruction is described in Revelation 17. This is an allegory, it's figurative. But the word picture that is used is clear how total this destruction, this city is going to be. Revelation 17:15, and he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are people and multitudes and nations and tongues. And remember, the whore is said to be Babylon. Verse 16. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. They shall hate Babylon, the city. And shall make her desolate, naked, and eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Now notice the progression. Shall make her desolate means to set her alone. And once she's alone, they will strip her. They will make this city naked. And once she's in that condition, they will eat her flesh. They will cannibalize her. The very city that they were so intimate with previously, the description is, they're going to eat her flesh. What is left of her? Just her bones. And you know what they'll do with her bones? They'll burn them with fire. Total destruction. And why? Verse 17. For God has put it in their heart, notice, to fulfill His will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the word of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So this is the context of the opening verses of Revelation chapter 19. Everything that has led up previous chapters are talking about Babylon's destruction. And if you will, the view is John looking at earth. John looking at this destruction. But notice in verse number 1 of Revelation chapter 19, John's attention is drawn from earth as he watches Babylon's destruction to heaven. His attention is diverted from hearing the lament of lost men wailing, alas, alas, Babylon the Great has fallen, to the praise of the redeemed in heaven shouting, Alleluia, salvation, verse 1, or deliverance. and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. What is the reason for this heavenly outburst of praise in verse 1? Well, we're told in verse 2. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Isn't that the very thing that the martyrs in Revelation chapter 6 were asking for, was vengeance? When are you going to avenge our blood? It's taking place now with the fall of Babylon. One word causes John's focus to turn from Babylon's utter destruction. It is hearing the shout of heaven, Alleluia. Alleluia means praise ye Yah, the short form of Yahweh. It's an imperative. It's like a command. It is a shout given for other people to join in the rejoicing. To say Alleluia means praise the Lord or praise God is a disservice to the word. It's too generic. Because you see, I have heard Hindus and Muslims alike both say praise the Lord and praise God. But you know what? The God that they're praising is not the same God as being praised here in heaven. The God that is being praised in heaven is very specific. Yahweh, Jehovah is being praised. Look at verse number 3. And again they say, Alleluia. The Bible says, and the smoke of her, Babylon's torment, rose up forever and ever. And all heaven is rejoicing over God's vengeance of Babylon. Something to consider tonight. Those in heaven know that this event has taken place. It begs the question, how much do people in heaven know about what's taking place on earth? And listen to me, be careful with people being dogmatic one way or the other. What we clearly know is this: God has pulled the veil back, and the people of heaven have seen and know Babylon is destroyed, and they're responding to that. All heaven is rejoicing. Look at verse 4. John sees the 24 elders, these heavenly dignitaries, rise from their seats, rise from their thrones, and fall before the throne of God. And you know what they say? Alleluia! Look, if you would, at verse 5. John hears a command given from around the throne. Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And in response to this instruction given from the throne, John hears in verse number 6, and I heard the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent, all powerful, reigneth. But the citizens of heaven aren't just rejoicing over Babylon's judgment. They are rejoicing over what Babylon's destruction means regarding the future. Because as I've said, with Babylon's destruction, we have turned a judicial point, corner. And now things are going to escalate as far as judgment very quickly. Folks, there is a desire in all of our hearts for justice, for wrongs to be made right. And in our thinking, and it's the same for all of us, we want wrongs made right immediately. We want murderers to receive the judgment of their crime swiftly, immediately, the way the Bible teaches. We want what's wrong with world governments to be corrected tonight, immediately. And we, like people in the Bible, say to God at times, How long, O Lord? Look, Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes that one of the mysteries that he just didn't understand was in the place of judgment, in the place that should have represented justice, wickedness was found. And we look what's happening to this country, and we want it corrected immediately, and election after election, folks, we are disappointed. Listen to me. Don't lose heart. Though God has removed vengeance from us, He has not removed it from Himself. And there is a day coming that we will be part of this great throng in heaven. When we get the word, when we see what takes place and Babylon is destroyed, we will be the ones, you and I will be the ones standing in that great throng saying, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And folks, He does tonight. He hasn't exacted vengeance yet because He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And He has a very strict timetable that He abides to. But the day will come. And you can be thankful you're on the right side of that judgment. And if there's ever a reason for a person to be saved, it is understanding who our God is, understanding the words of the Apostle Paul, when he says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God because our God is a consuming fire. Father, tonight we thank You for this time of study that we have. We thank You for the encouragement that one day the desire for justice will be satisfied in us. One day You will exact the vengeance that You have promised, and that day will be a glorious day for the redeemed because we will realize the earth is being purged of wickedness. Father, tonight we have a special time together where we can observe the Lord's Supper. And Father, as we turn our thoughts towards the reason that we observe this. We ask that you would use the time in our life to search us and to try us and to see, as the psalmist says, whether there be any wicked way in us. Father, we ask that we would approach this table with a right heart before you, sins confessed, a resolve to live uprightly before you in this new year. Father, you had a very specific purpose in us sharing this time, observing this memorial. We pray, Lord, that purpose would be accomplished in our midst and in our hearts tonight. For we pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.